This next drill was developed by our pitching coach here, Fred Correll. This is the guy with the Mickey Lolich body here. And it addresses that up, down, and glide action, which keeps that front side closed, keeps you loaded on the backside, and also helps you accelerate to the plate. And what we've done here is we put a block just in front of and to the side of the rubber, and he's going to go from his wind-up or stretch position, and he's going to come up, down, and touch, and then glide to the plate. And we try and do this as fluidly as possible, but it encourages that straightening action, which keeps everything loaded and keeps that front side in, and also helps you accelerate in a linear fashion to the plate. Want to make sure that that block is small enough that he has to extend to get down to it. The pitchers that do not do this have a tendency to go from a 90 degree angle and they open up their leg and they end up spinning off and going horizontal. Also, it really cuts down on the length of their stride and forces their release point back. So we want to make sure that we get that straightening as opposed to here and just opening up and displaying the inner thigh to the hitter. We want to stay closed as long as possible, and this allows us to do that. This next series of drills are arm action drills. Especially with young guys, you're going to find some really weird arm actions, and you'll look at some young pitchers and you just don't know where to start. This first drill we call L throwing is a great starting point, not only with young guys, but with any pitcher or position player for that matter who has arm action problems. We start out square to our receiver with our hands coupled in front of our body, and we start off doing this in segments. The first thing is we separate thumbs down. The next thing is we come out with our arm parallel to the ground. We come up into an L position, and from here we just flip the ball, and as we flip it we tuck this glove back in. So it's thumbs down, parallel. I want to make sure that my fingers are on top of the ball. You'll see some people with their fingers on the side or underneath. We want to make sure they're on top. We come up into an L position, then I just flip the ball and finish my pitch. Okay? Thumbs down, parallel, L, and flip and finish the pitch. I want to get extension. Then as we feel like our arm action is smoothing out, then we take it not so much in segments. Again, we want that thumbs down separation, up into an L, and flip. We want to stay away from any type of rotation that puts our arm and elbow behind our shoulders. You're going to have some pitchers who deliver their pitches to the plate with their elbows behind their back. You're going to find more power type pitchers, your Wohlers type guys that are a little bit more pinched between their shoulder blades, because many times the distance between the start of their release and the release point is a factor in velocity, but we want to stay from an overly pinched position, which forces pitchers into rotation and also puts a lot of stress on that anterior shoulder. The second part of this L drill, we're going to turn sideways. We're going to get into the exact same position. I'm going to be sideways. I'm going to separate thumbs down. I'm going to come back to where I'm parallel. I'm going to bring my arm up into an L position, and I'm going to tuck that elbow and just roll my laces and throw. It's the exact same drill. The only thing I've done is change my position from straight on to sideways. Thumbs down, come back to where my hand's parallel, make sure your fingers are on top, get that L position, and roll the laces and throw. I'm going to use that lead arm a little bit more to help accelerate my linear movement to the plate. Thumbs down, up into the L, and I'm going to use this arm, glove up, pull it back down in, roll the laces of the pivot foot and throw. I want the relationship of my front foot and my pivot foot to be the same as the relationship as when I pitch. Slightly closed, toe-to-toe or toe-to-instep, thumbs down, up, roll the laces and throw. And for young people with really funky arm action. This really is a very easy drill to clean up their arm action because it provides that alignment. It gives them the right takeaway. If I'm a flatter takeaway pitcher, I can take it away flatter. If I'm going thumb to thigh and hand to the sky, and I can check my alignment, very easy drill. I can make sure my eyes are level at the point of release, and then release in front, and I can finish my pitch. It's a drill that you can do on a daily basis to start off your throwing. Now we're using the protector screen for our throwing. This is for the thrower that pitches too close. The screen is a barrier, does not allow him to throw too close. This is also a barrier for the guy whose arm drops down to alert him that my arm is low so that he can make separation adjustments. And he can go out of his balance position, or he can go out of his stretch position, or even full windup. This is especially good for the working the breaking ball that's too flat to get him to an up and forward position with his elbow. And it's a physical reminder. If you don't have a screen, a lot of times as a coach, you can just stand there next to him so that he has a reminder that he can't step on that side, and it forces him into an up and forward position, especially on that breaking ball. This is good for stride alignment problems. This is also good for the guy who comes out and extends his leg and puts his weight back on his heel, because if he extends his leg, he's going to hit the barrier. So this forces him into a nice linear path to the plate and with real good alignment. Now we've moved the screen behind our pitcher. This is for the pitcher that does one of a few things. One, he opens up too far, he's going to run into that screen. Two, he hooks his arm behind him as opposed to taking it thumb to thigh and straight back towards second base. Or three, he's got a real flat lead arm action where he's going to run into this screen right here. And of course the lead arm is going to dictate what happens with his throwing arm. And what this does, it allows him to stay in alignment here. Also, it doesn't allow him to flail this arm behind him out of control. So it keeps him nice and compact and efficient to the plate. Finally, we'll move this screen behind the pitcher. This is for the guy who has a tendency to drift to the plate before he separates. So we have him brush the net, and that's when he starts his glide to the plate. This is also for the guy who tends to stiff arm or dab and reach back too far, and we just want that thumb to thigh and hand to the sky. We're pretty much, once we go thumb to thigh, we're lifting with our elbow to get our arm to shoulder height or slightly above, and then we're getting into that L position. We try not to come back with too straight an arm because that makes it tougher to get to that the right height on the takeaway. So he's just going to brush it and then glide to the plate. You don't want it so close that it really restricts his takeaway, but you don't want it so far that he stiff arms his takeaway or starts dabbing the ball out of the glove like a painter dabbing a paintbrush into a bucket. We want it to go right to that net. As soon as he feels contact with that net, that's when he starts to glide to the plate. The placement of this screen is going to be individual based on your particular pitcher and his body type and his mechanics. It's primarily for the guy that starts to glide to the plate before he has proper separation. It keeps him working over the rubber longer and keeps him from rushing his body ahead of the arm. This next series of throwing drills are drills that help develop that downhill plane that we've been talking about, which involves arm extension. The first of these drills is an uphill throwing drill. We feel like this drill promotes downhill throwing as good as any, because when you throw uphill, it forces you to throw downhill. It also really forces you to get into extension, and we slope the backside of our rubber the same as the front side of our rubber, and we'll move our catcher up and he'll throw uphill. Another thing that this drill does, it forces that pitcher into a real firm stride plant, because if he doesn't, he'll spin off or he'll recoil and fall off to the side. So it promotes that positive direction, it forces him into a downhill plane, and it also promotes extension. We do this drill with all of our pitches, fastball, curveball, or any type of breaking ball and changeup, because it gets that extension. And by throwing uphill, if you don't throw on a downhill plane, you're going to launch balls over the catcher's head. So it forces you to throw downhill. It does not allow you to be underneath the ball. This is a particularly good drill for the low elbow pitcher, the guy that spins out, the guy that tends to recoil, the pitcher that doesn't extend his head after his hand. Let's take a look at this drill. We'll throw maybe 50% of our bullpen at 60 feet 6 inches uphill for the guy that needs it, and then we'll move him back up on the rubber and he'll throw the rest of his pin throwing downhill. One thing about mechanics, when you're working on mechanics, you can't also work on command. So we're isolating mechanics, and as opposed to making pitches, then when we take part of our bullpen, maybe move it back up on the mound, the focus will be on locating our pitches and making our pitches. It's tough to do both at the same time. The next drill that we would do addresses the same problem when we come up on the rubber on this one. And on this one, we're going to just use a fungo bat, and we ask him to throw over the fungo bat. So that forces him to get his arm up. I want to be far enough out in front where he has confidence that he can throw over this bat, but it forces him to throw on a downhill plane. This is for the pitcher that tends to be underneath the ball, and we call them a pie thrower or a darter, they look like a waiter carrying a tray. This forces that elbow up, and it encourages extension because we tell him to reach out and try and touch that bat, even though physically he can't do it. But it promotes that downhill plane and extension. This next drill is a drill to develop extension and an aggressive finish to the pitch. Also, it aids in that downhill plane, and we use a quarter inch rope that's about 12 inches long. We've got a knot in either end, and we've got a little one of those paddles that you use to field ground balls, and we put a foam pad on the man's hand here, and we just have a folding chair, metal folding chair, and the pitcher works to get extension and hit the paddle, and then finish his pitch off aggressively to get that long side follow through, to get that throwing arm across the stride, leg, knee. And so he knows if he's made contact that everything's happening out in front. And as we want to extend guys out in front a little bit, we can move this guy back. And he knows if he's finished his pitch, he's hit this chair. We don't want to move so far out that we destroy this guy's downhill plane. We want it far enough out that we can advance his release point as close to the plate. And this stops a pitcher from cutting his pitches off or stopping his arm or recoiling before he finishes his pitch. And we talked about really finishing pitches aggressively to maintain that arm and hand speed. This is an exceptionally good drill. See, can't execute this drill with a low elbow, so for the pitcher that's underneath the ball that tends to push the ball or pie throw it, this is also a particularly good drill. Next drill, we're going to use a 2-foot-long, 5/8-inch dowel and just tape the handle so we have some thickness so it's like a baseball. And we're going to hold it just like we'd hold the baseball. And this is a drill that is one that encourages arm speed out in front at the point of release. This is for the pitcher who tends to cut it off or who has release too far retarded behind his head and all his hand speed occurs before he releases the ball. So what he does, he'll hear the wand move through the air, and he wants to make sure that where he hears the swish is out in front. And again, this is a hand speed, arm speed drill, and the timing of the hand speed is very important. We want to make sure it happens at, even with his head, or out in front. This next drill is a dry run drill into a mirror. The nice thing about a dry run drill, it's not very stressful on your arm. And one of the great advantages of dry run pitching is it helps you work on the sequencing of your pitching. In other words, the separation before the glide to the plate and the firing of the backside at the right time and stride at the right time, so on and so forth. You can work on that. You could work on any one of a number of specific mechanics. You could work out of the windup or the stretch. You could work on your pickoff moves. You could work on anything in a dry run nature. Having the mirror is an extra bonus because not only can you feel what you're doing, but you can also see what you're doing and evaluate it from a mechanical standpoint or from a sequence standpoint. Let's take a look at this dry run into the mirror. This last drill I'm going to show you is a drill that we do just about every day. We call it our basic seven drill, and it's a part to whole drill that encompasses the elements, what we feel are the important elements in the delivery. And we do it on flat ground at about 30 to 35 feet, maybe 40 feet. And it's not a drill that it's throwing at full speed. Much of it is shadowed. We start off with the first part. Number one would be just to strike our balance position, just that static balance position, and we'd evaluate that balance position from knee position, get him a little bit more closed up here possibly, and then we would do it with our eyes open and also close your eyes. When it's tougher to balance with your eyes closed, and now open your eyes, and so we can make sure that this person is balanced over his pivot foot, that he's not back on his heels, he's not arching his back, and so on. The second part of this drill, part two, would be balance and separate. So we want to make sure that we can separate and still hold that balance position, that we don't start to drift to the plate before we've made that separation. The third part of this drill is we're working on the separation out of the windup, and we'll go to our windup position and just shadow, and the emphasis is on making the separation before I start to glide to the plate. And for us, there are two triggers for that gliding to the plate. One is the separation of the hands, and the second one is when the leg gets to the top of the knee, of its lift. And the first of these is the separation. So the first thing we're going to work on out of the windup is separation, and we're just going to glide to our power position. Okay, so he makes sure that he's in a good power position, that he's not too closed off on this side, and that his head's not forward, he's not leading with his head, and his head is tilted, that he's in a good alignment position. Let's do that one more time. So the emphasis here is his concentration is on his separation, so that that separation occurs before he starts to glide to the plate. Then we'll do the same thing out of the stretch. And we try and work all our mechanics at least 50% out of the stretch. And sometimes even more, because in a ball game, most of your big pitches are going to be made out of the stretch. Go ahead. And he's just going to glide to power. The fourth part of our basic seven, the focus is on the leg lift. Again, this is our second trigger for gliding to the plate. And he's going to start off out of his windup and shadow his leg with the emphasis on his leg lift. When the leg gets to the top of its lift, he's going to glide to power. We tell them, go ahead and put your brain in your leg. So all your focus is on that leg lift. When it gets to the top, that's your trigger to glide to power. And go ahead out of the stretch. Again here, the emphasis is separate, then lift. One more time. The fifth part of our basic seven is to synchronize the separation and the leg lift. We call it lift and separate, and this time he's going to shadow the complete pitch. So his focus is on leg lift and separation so that we sync up the leg lift so that when the leg is at the top of its lift and my hands are starting to reach back, I'm going to glide to the plate. And out of the stretch. Now, the stretch is a little bit different. Instead of lift and separate, it's separate and lift. We're trying to synchronize bottom half and top half so we don't end up with our arm late. Good. The next element of our delivery, the focus is on the actual pitch, and we're going to focus on rolling the laces of our pivot foot. And he's going to start out of the windup, and his partner's going to be down. And all we're trying to do here is box a fastball and throw it for the middle of the plate, mid-thigh to knees. I might say on that lift and separate where we're shadowing that fifth element, that what we try and do, the emphasis is on really getting that arm up. We tell him to throw before front foot contact on a downhill plane. Now, that doesn't actually happen. But that's our instruction to, it's an overteach technique. It's just a technique to teach the particular skill. Now here, the emphasis is on rolling the laces of the pivot foot and boxing a fastball. Again, we don't want to overdo it. We merely want to roll the laces to the ground. That's what initiates the pitch and out of the stretch. Remember, more is less. We don't want to roll that heel all the way open because that opens up that front side. The seventh part of our basic seven will be throwing pitches to particular locations. More often than not, we try and throw in and out with our fastball. And we use as a teaching technique, it's not what actually happens, we say near eye and far eye. When I'm trying to throw to my arm side, I throw to off my near eye. When I'm trying to throw to my away from my arm side, I'm going far eye. So I'm trying to throw in and out because it's very important to be able to throw your fastball both in and out. They're like two different pitches. And this is a change in release points. The reference point is near eye. I don't throw it off my near eye, merely a reference point. Go ahead, out of the windup. And now far eye. So I'm throwing in and out. Now I may work on a different set of pitches on a different day. Let's go out of the stretch. We may work on a high in fastball and a low and away fastball. A two pitch sequence, which we call our tilt sequence. Today we just happen to be working near eye and far eye. That concludes our discussion on mechanics. Good mechanics is going to allow you to be the best possible pitcher you can be. When you're working on mechanics, work on mechanics. It's very difficult to focus in on mechanics and also try and have good control or good command. It's very important that you work on hitting your target. If you're going to work on hitting your target, you have to concentrate on making your pitches and not being fixated on your mechanics. When you get into a ball game, your basic adjustments are not going to be mechanical adjustments, but location adjustments, point of aim adjustments. The bottom line is to make your pitches. So you have to spend enough time that you have good mechanics so that you can be efficient and make good pitches, but you have to spend a lot of time in your side work making good pitches. If you want to win, combination. Good mechanics, good side work in terms of making your pitches.